Hello, friends, and welcome to episode number 290 of Bad Flips and Maple Dips. I'm Patrick. He's Justin. And Justin, we're 10 games into the season, and it doesn't feel great.
No, it does not.
it's tough. This is a tough pill to swallow right off the bat to start the year.
Man, we're off to a hot start here.
We're off to a banging start. We're actually the way to look at it though, is that in terms of record, the Jays aren't dead last, and you know
it could be worse.
One or two wins, and they are right in the middle of the pack.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. As far as the whole league goes, there's a few teams that are overachieving right now. There are a few teams that are exceeding expectations that are off to a hotter start than the Jays, but it'll even out, or it won't, in which case, you know, there's going to be some issues with how this team is managed in the future.
Yeah.
But look at it this way. The Mets are 3-6. The Nationals 3-6. The Astros are 3-7. The rest of the bad teams are teams you would expect. The Mariners are 4-6. The Giants, who spent big, are 4-6. The Diamondbacks, who didn't they not make it to the World Series last year?
They sure did.
4-6.
Yeah.
It's San Diego spent all that money. They're 5-7. The Twins are 3-4. The Phillies are 4-5.
It's almost like teams have only played a maximum of 10 games.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that haven't even played 10 games yet.
Yeah.
There's some a lot of teams that are, you know, the portion of teams that are off to a tremendous start is very small. Unfortunately, most of them play in our division.
The Orioles
are only 5-4. There is no, you know, record-wise, the Jays are not suffering too much to start the year. 10 games on the road is a very difficult start to the year. We said this before we even got to the season. We said it before in the previews.
Yeah.
The first 20 games of the year were going to be hard as hell, and to finish them around 10-10 is ideal. Within a couple games of .500
and
by the end
possible.
Of April,
yeah,
that's ideal. That being said, boy, some of these losses are very concerning, and we're going to talk about all of that. We're not going to talk about Tampa. We're done with that series. We're going to talk about the Houston series very briefly, and we'll talk about what just happened against the Yankees. Not ideal, but if you like what we do, follow us on Twitter at BFMD Podcast. That's our social as well. You can plug that into Google. You'll find us. Thanks for listening to us. We're back. Thanks for taking the time to listen to us. So, we've already talked about a lot of the things I wanted to bring up right off the top, how we're feeling after 10 games. If you had to pick something about the first 10 games that you like, what would you say they are?
I would say the production out of Ernie Clement has been wonderful. The two starts from Berríos have been excellent as well.
Yep.
And I would say I've been pleasantly surprised by some of the bullpen guys. Jimmy Garcia's looked really good so far. The bullpen, although they've given up some runs, Nate Pearson's been pretty solid. Trevor Richards has been pretty good. Nate Pearson's currently got 4 scoreless appearances under his belt to start the season, so you like to see that.
It really helps.
It really
does
help.
It's going to help. It's going to pay
off. And I mean, it's nice because Romano, like Swanson, is like throwing in rehab games. Romano's not far behind. These guys are going to be back likely before the homestand is up. They're both going to be, I think, at the home opener celebration tonight, just as they'll be on the team this year, so they're there. Jano should be back soon. He caught Manoah's rough start in single A Dunedin yesterday. Jano's working his way back. So reinforcements are on the way. Yariel Rodriguez is pitching pretty well in Buffalo, so it could be a matter of time before he's maybe the long man in the bullpen. We've seen Wes Parsons get DFA. We've seen Paulo Espino go through some tough innings against the Yankees. Paulo Espino is 37, so he's a journeyman, you know, like he's been around. So
I think we're in agreement to what we like. I will say, post Yankees series, a couple of guys are starting to turn the corner already. Springer had a good series against the Yankees. Bichette did.
At least Vladdy had a home run. He didn't have the best numbers overall in the series, but
Kirk had a good bounce back. Biggio had a good bounce back. The rest of them, not so much.
Yeah. The offense showed some life in New York, at least, you know?
Yeah. Vladdy's having off to a dreadful start. I mean, so is Bo, but the thing is, they're off to such a bad, it's a very small sample size, yeah, so it's hard to sort of
it's like we always say, right? I mean, both guys could get three hits tonight and suddenly their numbers don't look so bad, you know? It's
yeah, exactly. It's so early that the numbers are just like comical.
Yeah.
And you'll see it on other teams, even Seattle. You go through their lineup for tonight's game, the home opener, and they've got a couple guys hitting like 400. And then the rest of them are struggling as much as the Jays.
Like Julio Rodriguez is hitting 205. That's not going to happen over the full season. You know, Mitch Garver is not going to hit 290. Or Mitch Haniger, excuse me.
I want you to pick two things that you're upset about.
I think just the... I would say the unwillingness to stick with the hot hands on offense. I mean... The biggest example here is Davis Schneider, right? He hits the late home run off Josh Hader to win game two in Houston. Really the only two runs the Blue Jays scored in those three games, including getting no hit. And he's not in the lineup the next day. I mean, I understand. I talked with this. I actually recorded with Clayton yesterday for his podcast and talked about how like some teams are living and dying with analytics and data a bit too much instead of relying a bit more on feel. And if a guy's feeling it, it's like in basketball. If somebody's nailing three-pointers, you pass them the ball and let them shoot. You don't just go away from him because he's only a career 30% shooter. If he's hitting everything, you let him go. Like if a guy is giving you something, giving you run production, and your team is struggling to produce runs, why not play him until he stops producing, you know? And I mean, he did it again in New York with a big, a late double in that game. Like the Jays almost came back being down 7-2 at one point. So or 9-2, excuse me. It's tough. I mean, like, yeah, this team scored some runs in the Yankee series, thankfully, but unfortunately had a couple of lackluster starts. Gausman got absolutely destroyed by the cold weather. And we'll talk about some stats from Chris Black when we get there. Bowden Francis looked good for the first two innings, and then it just all went awry for him. Kikuchi was great. So we can't say anything bad about him. But I think that the biggest things I'm disappointed in is this lineup construction. I think that they're trying to get everybody involved early, which I do understand. You don't want guys to sit for too long. But at the same time, if a guy comes in, we talked about this in our preseason shows. If somebody is getting hot, and potentially could put the team on their back for a bit, you have to play your best guys. Like there's a reason that players are on the bench, right? They're not everyday players, but if a guy is playing really well, you've got to find a way to get him in the lineup. And the Jays have the fortunate ability to be able to move their players around to various positions, and a lot of them, so you can find ways to get them in the lineup. The other thing that I'm mad about, I think, again, it's the runners in scoring position thing. It's just...
Yeah.
It seems, and I mean, there's been a few times where they've had some hard contact, like Justin Turner smacked a few balls right at fielders. It's just unfortunate that you barrel a ball up and it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere for a hit. Like those are fine at bats. I'm willing to look past guys like hitting the ball on a line to the outfield and having it be caught versus a guy who's striking out or, you know, popping it up on the infield. It's like you have to be able to do something with that at bat to either move, like to find a way to move him over and get him in. Like if George Springer doubled to lead off both the first two games against the Yankees and didn't score in either time because they weren't able to move him over and bring him in. Somebody would come up and like Vladdy would strike out and then Bo would strike out. And then you get to Turner and he lines out to Volpe in the first game, you know, like it's, you have to find a way to just push the ball to the right side. The guy can move to third, and then you're a sack fly or a grounder away from scoring him. You got to find a way to get those runs in.
Don't you find it bizarre how much this team struggles tremendously when the heart of the lineup is up and they just can't drive in runs. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, especially this
team plays like the 27 Yankees with nobody on. And then as soon as a base runner gets on, it's like they all forget. It's like
they're the Oakland A's.
I'm going to throw out something that's anecdotal that I have zero evidence for.
Okay.
But it kind of goes back to what you were saying that you had talked about with Clayton on his show, which is everybody is so far up their own ass about analytics and like do this with this, do this with this, that these guys, these are baseball players.
Yeah.
Playing a game.
Yep.
Right? Get this shit out of their head.
Yep.
And focus on I'm at the plate. I'm here to hit the ball as hard as I can, as far as I can. Get all this analytics stuff out of their head and just focus on.
Yeah, it's not even.
I must mash. Instead yeah,
it's
of
not
this,
even. It's not even the I must mash thing. It's the fact that Springer leads off two games in a row with a double and
oh
doesn't
my
score.
God,
you go up to the plate and you're either thinking, okay, something I can drive. And if I get to two strikes, I'm looking to put the ball in play to the right side. Whether it's in the air or on the ground, I can at least move the runner to third base. You know? Like, it's not a complex thing. Like, you're looking – those first few pitches until you get to two strikes, you're looking for a pitch in a particular spot.
Yeah.
And if you get it, fucking smash it. Drive it to the outfield. Try and gap it again and replace Springer at second base with yourself. Like, it's not a hard concept. And I this is another thing, I keep bringing up Clayton's episode, but I another thing I mentioned was I think there are too many cooks in the kitchen, and we've talked about this before offensively with offensive coordinators, hitting coaches, assistant hitting coaches, hitting strategists. Like there's, I think these guys are getting so much input and feedback that they're going up there trying to remember all of this stuff that they've been told in scouting reports and pregame, instead of just going up there and saying, "Hey, this like Luis Gil who was throwing for the Yankees the other day." Was struggling tremendously with fastball command, and the Jays were just waving at changeups. Instead of going up there and saying, hey, I'm going to sit on the changeup, and if it's low and in, I'm just going to yank it down the third baseline. Or if it's down and away from me, I'm going to try and hit it to the right field corner, like what George Springer did to lead off the game a couple times. Like, it's something where if you go up there looking for a fastball, you're going to swing at one that's out of the zone, and that's what they were doing. And it's just... I won't say it's unacceptable because it's 10 games in, but it just seems like the game plan is too complicated. Don Mattingly talked a few days ago about how he doesn't see this team as a huge power hitting team, but he wants his hitters to do damage. What the hell does do damage mean if it doesn't mean home runs or hitting for power? Like, is damage mean ground balls to the third baseman? Because they're doing a lot of rolling over on ground balls to the third baseman. I'll tell you that much. It's just, I don't get it. Like, it just seems like there's an identity crisis here. The Jays don't know who they are anymore for years from 2013 until, say, after the Bautista and Canastio Donaldson years, whatever it was, 4 or 5 years. The team hit home runs. That's who they were. They were a power team. They don't have the same personnel to do that much damage anymore. But they have plenty of players, like their top, say, like Springer, Guerrero, Bichette, Dalton Varsho, Denny Jansen. These are all guys who should be hitting home runs. Some of them should be pulling the ball, like Springer, Varsho, and Jano. And then guys like Vladdy and Bo have power to all fields. They just tell them to hit the ball as hard and as high as they can, as far as they can. Like, stop trying to make every hitter the same and let them play to their strengths, because the best players in baseball play to their strengths. You don't see Shohei Ohtani hit many home runs the other way.
Or he hits
quote, piss
line
missiles.
Drives.
Yeah, he hits
field,
piss missiles
like,
to right field. Like, Mike Trout pulls the majority of his home runs.
Do what you're best at. That's what Danny Jansen did a couple of years ago, and then they got in his head.
I know. I bring up Marcus Semien. When he was here with this team for 1 year, he set a record for home runs in the American League by a second baseman because he pulls the ball. He knows what he's good at, and he goes up there looking to pull the ball. Like... just because the shift is gone doesn't mean you have to hit the ball the other way.
Do you think maybe information overload also has some sort of impact on this?
Like, the cooks in the kitchen, information overload, whatever you want to call it. I just think that there's too much being thrown at these guys. and they need to just simplify the game plan.
Just like shut it off. Shut it all off.
Shut off Savant for a couple days. Like, I mean, and we love, you and I both love data and stats. We're not in that locker room talking to these guys, you know, like we're analyzing the game from thousands of kilometers away from Toronto. And
yeah,
we can watch and if we can see this stuff happening, and it's not like it's, we can say small sample size for this year, but we have 162 games of data from last year.
Yes,
and 162
yes.
games of data from 2021 and 2022. We can see what this team was like in 2021. They hit a lot more home runs. And all of a sudden, you bring in a completely different staff and the whole philosophy changes, and I'm not sure it's been for the better.
Yeah, the question I keep thinking of is who's to blame. And I actually
I think it's
a collaborative effort.
Yeah,
I think everybody is being sucky here.
It's a systematic issue.
And I think the players are the symptom. I don't think they're the reason.
I agree.
Even going all the way down to like who you would consider to be the player, you know, easiest to target on this lineup, which is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, because he's the one that was signed for X dollars. We couldn't get Matt Chapman to come back. He didn't want to come back. And, you know, the Jays weren't able to find that third baseman to replace Matt Chapman.
Maybe they should just play Ernie Clement or David Schneider there a bit more, since they can hit more than IKF. I know they're worried about run prevention, and I get it with certain pitchers. Like, Berríos is going to get a fair amount of ground balls. But when you've got Gausman or you've got Kikuchi, those are guys with more strikeout ability. Get a guy at third base who just mashes, you know, like...
By the way,
maybe you give up an error, but maybe he hits a home run in the game and makes up for it. Like,
by the way, so far in 44 PAs, Matt Chapman's hitting 195.
Yeah.
He does have 2 home runs and 9 RBIs.
Good for him.
But that's literally like
his only contribution so far. Yeah.
Yeah. His OPS plus, according to Baseball Reference, is 75. So like,
yeah, he's still below average.
Yeah. Don't go to your ex's Facebook. Like, just focus on, look at what's in front of the team right now. Let's rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
The Jays got utterly destroyed in Houston. They did win a game. They very easily could have been swept. They were, you know, one swing of the bat away from being shut out 3 games in a row.
Yeah.
I almost felt like by the time that series was over that this was it almost feels like a call to action by the players to be like, you need to do, like, you referring to the people who manage this team.
Yep.
Need to do something now, or we're all just going to phone it in. Like, it felt almost targeted. That's how bad the performance was. Now, credit where credit is due. Okay, that no-hitter was masterfully pitched. Don't care what anyone says. Don't care whether or not it's a number 3 or number 5 pitcher. A no-hitter is a no-hitter. It's a masterful performance, period.
Yeah, yeah. And he went out there in his next start and had a no-hitter going into the 6th inning, too,
Pedro
Blanco. So, I mean, it's not like it was a flash in the pan thing. They have figured something out with him.
I said Blanco was good. Framber Valdez, ace pitcher on most staffs.
Yeah. He was good.
Yeah. The Jays got utterly destroyed. They got smoked.
They were lucky to get a win.
Only player who showed up really at the plate was Justin Turner, and David Schneider saved this team from one of the most embarrassing 3-game sets in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Looking like maybe like 4 hits across 3 games, 0 runs. That's how bad it was looking.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how good your pitching was. You know, Berríos was good.
Yeah, Berríos was the reason that Schneider had a chance to win game 2.
Yeah. You know? Bassett wasn't great, if we're being honest.
No, he had a rough one.
He's getting hit a lot. And Bowden Francis was not it. he gave up 3 home runs in 5.1 innings.
Yuriel Rodriguez, please help us. Please save us.
I think the Bowden Francis experiment needs to be over. I think a swift move to the bullpen and keep him stretched out to be able to do two innings at a time.
Yeah.
The Jays aren't that desperate. They have other pitchers who could be pitching right now. There's no reason to force Bowden Francis every fifth game just so he can get the shit kicked out of him and destroy his confidence before the end of the season.
Right.
We already have a young pitcher struggling with their confidence at this point. Having to get a second one do all this is not, I'm not excited about that. So I say pull the cord now and just get Yariel Rodriguez to come up. Worst case scenario, he'll get you 9 outs, but you know they're 9 good outs because he's stretched out to do it.
Yep.
Right?
Man.
Let's move on from Houston. The Yankees series, I barely want to talk about this. The Jays almost came back and took the second game.
Yeah.
The bats really woke up.
Showed some life.
We've already talked about the hitting. You say Kikuchi was good in that first game. Gausman got ripped up. Bowden Francis got ripped up. Mitch White did what he could, but I think he probably pitched for a bit longer than what he should have. I mean, 3 earned runs and 4.1 innings pitched isn't ideal.
Yeah, that was tough when, I mean, they put him in when they're basically out of the game, right? And then all of a sudden the bats come back when it's already 7-2 for the Yankees.
Yeah.
And then you're like, shit. Maybe we shouldn't have just thrown this one away with Mitch White. But it's, I mean, they needed him to do something that game because of the poor start from Gausman in there. So.
And Yenesis Cabrera wasn't great.
No, he's had a rough start to the year.
Yeah. Tim Mesa has not been himself. But it's early, and one bad performance can screw up your quote stats for months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not going to get too upset.
We've always talked about it on this show. You need to wait at least a month before you can make really any inference about a player unless they're batting like Ofer, you know?
Yeah. It's dreadful.
Yeah. Until you have 100 or so plate appearances, it's tough to make any statistical inferences off of a guy. Like, it's, you can't just make a conclusion from 16 plate appearances, you know? Like, it's tough. But yeah, I mean, say what you will about this team. I mean, I'm looking at their stats so far. I mean, statistically, the best hitters based by WRC+ have been Justin Turner, Davis Schneider, and Kevin Biggio, top three. Then you've got Springer, Guerrero at 117 WRC+. And then Dan Vogelbach at 116 and Ernie Clement at a 110. Those are the only guys over 100 right now. It's tough. Like, this team just hasn't hit well. They've got some guys who are doing more than others offensively. And then, like, for the pitching staff, yeah, Kikuchi's been pretty good through two starts. Trevor Richards has a 0 ERA in 6 appearances so far. Nate Pearson's in 4 appearances with 0. Jimmy Garcia with 0 through 3. Like, there are some guys. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa has a scoreless inning pitch against the Yankees, so, or against Houston, whoever he was pitching against.
That's let me throw a hypothetical at you.
Oh, I love these. You know I hate these.
Let's say, hypothetically, game 2, Jays win 8-7, and they're five and five. Does that really, is it that big a one game, like one win? Is that the difference between us having concerns and not having concerns? Is really one game and two runs?
I don't think so, Patrick. I think the concerns are really outside of 2 games in Tampa and 1 game in New York. This team has struggled to score, you know, more than 3 runs in a game. And some games have struggled to score any runs. I think the main, whether the record, say the Jays were somehow like 6-4 right now, but their offense was still struggling and they were winning just because of good pitching that they did last year, we would still have cause for concern there, because right now their record is reflective, like, is pretty reflective of how they performed. It should actually probably be worse than what it is. Versus last year, their record was probably better in the regular season than what it should have been. because of how good the pitching staff was last year. The offense is picking up right where they left off, which is not where you want it to be. And I think the only way we'd be less concerned about this team is if there had been more consistency with run scoring. And look, I get it. Like, sometimes you're going to get no hit. Sometimes a pitcher just has incredible stuff and you can't touch him. Like, that's just the way it goes. You're not going to, nobody ever wins 162 games. It's impossible.
Yeah, pretty much every team is guaranteed to lose at least 60 games.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and then probably 75% of the league is going to lose at least
75
games.
It's a very hard game, and even the bad teams can have good games. And I mean, the Blue Jays maybe are going to be one of those bad teams this year who need to just have some good games. It's tough. I mean, the way that this offense looks right now. And everyone's talking about, oh, yeah, they're going to get Danny Jansen back. But, yeah, Danny Jansen is not going to play every day. And if you're relying on Danny Jansen to save this team, then I'm sorry, but you have to take a look in the mirror. We love Jano, but he's not going to play every game. And he's not going to hit a home run every game. We'd love him to. But it's like this team has way more problems than their second catcher, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on. I don't think we really need to rehash this. Also, by the way, not for nothing, but we begrudgingly have to give it to the Yankees. They are very hot to start the year.
Yeah.
That's not something that can be denied. They're 8-2 to start the year, which is tops in MLB.
Look at the start Tampa Bay got off to last year, right? And they've rode it all the way to the playoffs to only to lose every game, just like the Blue Jays.
Yep. That's the thing, is you can be super hot to start the year and cool off. You can be puttering around 500 and then come July, you catch fire.
Yep.
It's about timing.
We always talk about it, right? I mean, a team can be so bad for 10 games and then they can go 8-2 or 9-1 or rattle off a 10 game win streak. And then all is forgiven until the next time they lose. It's just, I think we've been spoiled by some pretty good Blue Jays teams this last 7-8 years now, you know, even going back almost 10 years now to the 2015 and 16 teams, which is crazy to think it's that long ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, the last few years of having like playoff caliber teams who haven't delivered, we've come to expect more, which isn't a bad thing, but we also have to remember that number one, they aren't going to win every game. And number two, don't rely on the Blue Jays for your happiness.
Yeah.
We've talked about this so many times.
You're gonna get hurt.
I go on Twitter when the Blue Jays are losing and I immediately just shut it off. I close the app because it's just everyone's just raging every time the Blue Jays are losing a ball game. It's the third inning and they're down 2-0 and you'd think it was like the apocalypse, like the sun failed to rise, you know, like it's unreal how many just like reactionary knee-jerk takes there are. And it's like, yeah, I get some people are on there just farming for likes from the blue check marks who want to fire Ross Atkins through 10 games. Like there's going to be those people there who are just farming engagement because they're getting paid by Elon Musk to do so. But it's just like, you know what? I don't want to feed into that. I don't want to be a part of it. It's just, you know what? If the Jays aren't winning, go do something else. You're not a bad fan if you don't watch every game. We've talked about that before. Like if you're not having a good time watching a ball game, go do something else. Like there's going to be another one tomorrow for the next 6 months. You know, like it's not like it's the last game of the year. So
and you know the other thing is, any team can win any game.
Yeah.
At any given time.
Oh yeah.
It just requires a lot of small things to come together.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Jays almost came back down 7-2.
Yeah, down 6-0 and then 7-2 in the same game.
Like, yeah, it's the thing, you got to pace yourself. 10 games into the year, is this team good? No. Do they look like a playoff team? No. Do they look like a 500 team? No. You know?
Question for you, Patrick. Scale of 1 to 10, concern level with Kevin Gausman. 1 being not concerned, 10 being very concerned.
4.
Yeah, I'm at like a 2, so it's...
Yeah, I mean, I'm only saying 4 because of recency bias.
Yeah, of course. I mean...
If the starts were reversed, I'd say I would probably say 2.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's Kevin Gausman. It's not like he's like a rookie, you know, or Bowden Francis. Like, Bowden Francis, my concern level is a 9 right now. Like, it's Kevin Gausman, Chris Black, Down to Black on Twitter. One of the Sportsnet producers posted a graphic on there today. Kevin Gausman, performance by game temperature in his Blue Jays career. 55 degrees Fahrenheit or lower. He's made 5 starts. His ERA is at 5.5. Fastball velo just below 93.
Oof.
If it's 56 or higher, that's 59 starts. A 3.21 ERA. 95 mile an hour fastball velo. So it's just, he just doesn't like the cold. And he even said that in his post-game interview. He's like, I just couldn't get my body like revved up today. It's just the way it is.
No concerns, I mean, really. It sucks.
We can't expect 32 A or S tier starts from everybody. It doesn't happen.
This happened last year, though. He had a bad start to start the year, and then he went on to have
Bassett too.
An elite season.
A Cy Young finalist season for Kevin Gausman last year, and I mean, yeah, Bassett was the same last year. Got lit up his first start, and then figured out like these guys are like 10-year plus vets for a reason. In a lot of cases, it's because that they've got the juice. They know what they're doing out there. They'll be fine.
Yeah. My big thing moving forward when it comes to the starting pitching is it's time to move now on switching it up. I think it's okay to have Bowden Francis open a game and then use Yariel Rodriguez for bulk.
I would even say the reverse. I would have
Yariel
go first because I think he's got better stuff.
He does.
Yeah, he's done 6 6⅓ scoreless innings through 2 Buffalo appearances so far, by the way. They've only given up 1 hit through that time as well. So he's definitely off to a good start down there. And yeah, I think it's a matter of time. Concern level with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to start the season, Patrick?
Let me look at the line.
It's not great, but... it's not terrible either. He's taking his walks still.
Well, that's what I'm looking at. I'm just looking at...
yeah. With a 189 batting average, he somehow has an OPS of 711. So it's not as though he's not getting on base still. And the walk rate is like 6% higher than it was last year. Limited sample size. It's back to his 2021 walk rate.
He's hit an awful lot of ground balls to start the year.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
And that's probably the big thing. The lack of offensive production is very concerning for a guy who's getting, you know, who's 3 in the order. That being said, you know, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't more concerned about... I would be telling the truth if I said I was more concerned about Bo Bichette. He's having a dreadful start to the year.
He's warming up.
I'm less concerned about Vladdy than I am about Bo. Now, in the long term, it's the opposite. But right now, in the month of April, Vladdy is not... This isn't it. But...
yeah.
We are fortunate in that the Jays do have their home opener. They're 10 games into the season. They haven't even had a home game yet. And historically, they've been pretty darn good at home the last probably, 4 seasons?
For sure.
So I'm thinking that this series against a very soft, beat-up Mariners team, who's also struggling with their own problems... Luis Castillo's not off to a good start. George Kirby's not off to a good start. Yeah. I like that. This is an opportunity for the Jays to beat up on a team that robbed them of playoff success. Now, it makes it sound like Seattle had, you know, or Toronto had no... didn't have their opportunities to win or lose games, but... yeah, Seattle to me is an appropriate... measuring stick at this point of the season. They're struggling. I think this could be very good for the Jays. You know, even winning this series, they won't be able to get above 500 unless they sweep. But, and I'm not going to put that out into the universe. Just focus on, it's a 3-game set. Best thing for this team right now would be to take 2 of 3 from Seattle. Then they get to face the Rockies. The Rockies are struggling to start the year. Historically, they've struggled on the road the last few seasons. Historically,
they've struggled.
Yeah, that's true. But look at it that way. These are two teams that are not having a great start that the Jays, you know, need to be able to beat up on. And, you know, they go 4-2 this week. All of a sudden, they're 8-8. And then are you really... 8-8, 500 in April is pretty much what the doctor ordered. So that's how right now it feels bad, because we just got beat up by a bunch of teams that are objectively better than the Jays anyway on paper. Now they get to play some teams that might be on their level, at least currently, or beneath their level currently. You can't look past these matchups, but... this is a slightly softer part of the opening 20 games, which I predicted were going to be miserable. So welcome to the show. This is it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the matchups.
Yeah. What are you looking for in this series? Regardless of win loss record, what do you want to see from this team that would indicate that they're, like, you know, coming around and turning a corner?
Honestly, there's only one thing I care about in this series is they could lose all 3 games, but if their RISP batting average is over 300, I'm ecstatic, because that's
I would take 250 at this point.
Let's go a little bit higher. Let's say 300.
Sure.
And the
Shoot
idea the is moon. That means that they will be driving in runs, which is the thing that's going to sink this team. Eventually, the pitching will sort itself out. Yeah. But the run scoring, this team cannot afford to starve itself throughout the entire season. They can't win every game 3-2. It's not going to happen. Right now, the Jays have scored 36 runs, which is worst in their division by far, by like a notable amount.
3.6 per game, for those of you doing the math at home.
Bad. That's really bad. It's the worst in the division.
How many have they given up so far, Patrick?
53, which is tied for the worst.
5.3 per game. Yeah. Not great. Yeah.
Not great.
We talked about it last year. You've got to be able to score 5 runs a game on average to win a lot of ball games.
So that's the thing, is
they're basically missing 1.5 runs every game to have a chance to win. And they've scored the bulk of their runs in 3 different games. 2 yeah. against Tampa, 1 against the Yankees.
So I think what the doctor will have ordered for this series against Seattle, who are even more dreadful in runs scored and only slightly better at runs against, actually 1 run better, but they've scored fewer runs than the Jays. They're absolutely dreadful to start the year.
Yeah, look, the problem is too, Patrick, is that both of these teams will look like with the pitching matchups, they're 3 good pitching matchups, like 3 good pitchers that each team is going to throw out there. So this could either be one of those series where like one team dominates, or it could be a bunch of low scoring games. And I mean, even if it is like a bunch of like 3-2 or 4-3 games, your ask about the runners in scoring position thing is going to be even more important in that regard. If that's the scenario.
I think what it'll come down to is, does Chris Bassett have a quality start?
The Blue Jays need their starters to throw some innings for sure.
Luis Castillo is off to a bad start. He'll face off against Jose Berríos, who's off to a great start. If Berríos is, you know, 90% as good as what he was the first couple starts, the Jays will be set up for success. Chris Bassett, this needs to be a quality start.
Yeah, I would even take like 5 innings of like 2-run ball if that's
whatever
it. Like,
keeps
you know,
them
like,
close. Yeah. George Kirby is off to a bad start, but it won't last.
No,
I would actually I'm actually more concerned about George Kirby than I am about Luis Castillo.
Yeah, the Jays have seen Castillo lots.
Yeah, and then it's Yusei Kikuchi versus Logan Gilbert, and that's a very good matchup.
Gilbert's a good strikeout guy.
Yeah, he is. Yusei Kikuchi has been good to start the year. He had one start that wasn't great, but then he also had a great start. He
loves
start,
pitching
so,
against the Yankees for some reason.
Yeah, so this will be interesting. My prediction is the Jays will take this one, this series, I think 2-1. I'd be shocked at a sweep either way, but I think the Jays will be able to battle their way a little bit closer to 500, and then we'll come back after the series is over. They got Thursday off, so we'll come back. We'll record a three-gamer.
I love Thursday off days.
Yeah, I know, me too. It makes it easier for us to record and to chat. So
yeah, we've got next two Thursdays off, which is nice. So
yeah, I will say too, unfortunately, my vacation was canceled.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Which is, it sucks. You don't love it. It's not what you want, but that means we'll be able to be back after the Rockies series is over, and we'll be able to come back even again after the second Yankees series, because mm-hmm. they play the Yankees after the Rockies, and then we'll have the day off on Thursday. So we'll be able to settle into a two-a-week schedule for now. Any final thoughts before we shut her down?
No, not really. I think that you kind of nailed it on the head there with the runners in scoring position ask.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's, yeah, this team, man, it's frustrating because they don't have the like offensive weapons to like score 8-9 runs every day. Yeah. But I think if they can consistently put together quality at bats, they can definitely score 5 runs a game. And with the caliber of the pitching staff that this team will have when fully healthy, once Swanson and Romano get back, and hopefully Yuriel Rodriguez forces his way up into the picture very soon, I think that this team has the ability to limit people to less than 5 runs a game. So I do think this team can still win a lot of games. I think it'll be a lot of close ball games, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But hey, you stick around, you play well, and who knows, come the trade deadline, maybe there's somebody on the market who a team is looking to move, who's maybe on an expiring deal or something that you can get for the cheap and at least give yourself a boost and try and win some playoff games this year. So that's what I'm looking for. Quality at bats. I'm not even so much like specifying runners in scoring position, just quality at bats, whether it's, you know, ground ball to move a guy from second to third with less than 2 outs. Like, it just do something to be productive, even if you're making an out. Productive outs are usually putting the ball in play. You don't want to strike out. So that's what I'm here for. That's all I got. Let's go watch some baseball. The game starts in about an hour from when we're wrapping up this episode. So by the time some of you listen to this, it'll probably be Saturday or Sunday. So, or not Saturday or Sunday. I keep thinking it's Friday today. Tuesday or Wednesday. I wish it was Friday. My God. But for Patrick out in Halifax, I am Justin here in Saskatoon. And we'll see you when we see you.